Amen. I'd like to look in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 10. If we can turn in your Bible there, we're going to just look in Matthew and again in John. A while back, I just felt the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me the word judgment. And, you know, I believe we've come, you know, judgment is not a very popular subject, is it? You know, I'm standing back here singing. Rita's singing there, and I can hear the praise coming up. And, you know, it just came to me that there are some who will not bring up certain subjects because it is not popular with the masses. And yet, I have a mandate from the Lord to speak the whole counsel of God. Amen? In other words, I can't just preach the things that sound nice, the things that tickle your ears. I can't just say health and healing and virtue and prosperity. What has happened in our society today is we have come to a place where people no longer believe in judgment, either in the natural or in the spiritual. Even among the natural, the principle of judgment is being polluted. A man does murder. Maybe he does serial killing. And he sits in jail for something like 20 years before the sentence is ever really passed on him. You understand what I'm saying? And then, of course, if he's rich, whatever his crime, all he has to do is hire enough fancy lawyers and he gets off scot-free. Yep. And so the very principle of judgment is perverted in our land. Now, Jesus talked about judgment, and in the New Testament, it's a very interesting word, the Greek word for judgment. I'll write it here on the board. It's 2920. I'm not going to do much writing today. 2920. And the word is, well, I don't know how to read Greek, but it's K-R-I-S-I-S. K-R-I-S-I-S. Now, what does that sound like to you? It sounds like crisis to me, doesn't it? And again, I'm saying I'm not a Greek scholar. It could be crisis, it could be crucis, I don't know. But that looks like crisis to me. And what it means a decision for or against. All right, judgment is a decision for or against by a tribunal, justice, accusation, condemnation, damnation, or judgment. That's the meaning of that word. So the basic meaning is there comes a time when a decision is made by a judge. All right, that's what judgment is. There is a judge that will make a decision. It'll be either a positive decision in your favor or it will be a decision against you. Have any of you ever been in front of a judge for anything? I think almost all of us have been there for something or other. You don't have to admit what it was for. It was probably for over parking. Yes, I've been before a judge for over parking. Asking for mercy. You know what? I've gotten mercy. I've gotten mercy a lot of times. You know, we have to ask God for mercy, don't we?
Yes, you do.
And you know what? He's the judge.
Amen.
He is the judge of all the earth. Rita, what was that word that the Lord gave you one time about our behavior before the judge of all the earth? You remember that?
It was just in a fellowship that I was praise, and praise wasn't going real well, and people were getting discouraged, and sitting down, and all of a sudden a song came forth, and it was, the spirit seemed to fall, but people weren't recognizing, and I was seeing in the spirit that the judge of the whole earth was walking in and amongst the pews, or the rows of people, and nobody realized, and nobody knew it.
Yeah.
That's just all I was using.
And you know, when we present ourselves before a judge, we really go in our best, do we not? We go in our best behavior, we go in our best dress. I know that there are judges, if a lawyer attempts to come into a court to represent a case and he's not wearing a suit and tie, the judge will reprimand him.
Right.
And tell him that he is to show up giving respect.
Right.
For the office of the court.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm talking about God here, all right? Now, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus did some preaching about judgment. In Matthew 10, and I don't know where to start with this. It's just a lot of teaching. Basically, what he's doing is at this time, he's sending the 12 apostles out, and he's instructing them. Okay, he's instructing them, at that time, they are not to go to the Gentiles, they are to go to the lost sheep of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in verse 7, in particular here, he says, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, Jesus told them what to preach.
Mm-hmm.
You go out and you preach the message of the kingdom. Amen. You know, there's many gospels. Did you know that?
Right. Amen.
There's many gospels. There's a gospel of salvation. It's not a bad message, but it isn't the whole message. There's a gospel of baptism.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good message,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the whole message. Amen. But Jesus said, I don't want you to just go out with a little segment. I don't just want you to go out and preach the gospel of the Beatitudes. That's a good message. But he said, I want you to go and preach the fullness of the kingdom of God. Amen? He said kingdom of heaven. It means the same thing. Heaven is a spiritual kingdom. Amen? In other words, I don't want you to go out there and preach politics. I don't want you to go out there stir up a lot of thought and this type of thing about the government, the natural government. I want you to go out and preach the message of the spiritual kingdom of God. What did he say to Pilate? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Amen. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. Amen. Then we could have demonstrations in the streets, and we could occupy Wall Street, and we could occupy this and occupy that and demonstrate for something else and vote for something else. He said, "No, my kingdom is not of this world." So he's telling his disciples to go out and preach this message. Amen. Now, when we get over here to verse 11, he's talking to them about the places and the cities that they're going to come into. He said, "And into whatever city or town you enter, inquire if it is worthy, and abide there till you go out." So, okay, they're to come in, and when you come into a house, salute it. Now, he gets into verse 14, which is where we're really getting into the interesting things here, and he says, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or the city, shake off the dust of your feet." All right, Jesus is telling us that there are places and people that do not want to hear. Have you encountered this?
Oh, yes.
People and places that don't want to hear the message that you have to bring.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, he says, "Verily, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city."
Well,
now think about this. Have you ever meditate on what he just said? That it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. What do you think happened back there in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? What do you think happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah. They just got fried, right?
Yeah, they destroyed them.
That's the end of it. But why did Jesus say more tolerable for them? In other words, he's making a comparison.
Mm-hmm. Because they were bringing a greater revelation. They were bringing the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
More so than even Sodom and Gomorrah did not have an understanding.
So what he's
suggesting something greater.
Yeah.
Much is given, much is required.
So, I mean, if somebody is bound for hell, how can it be more tolerable for them than for somebody in our generation that's hearing this message and rejecting it and still might be going to hell? Are there degrees of judgment?
Yeah.
You know what? There are degrees of judgment. There are degrees of hell. In the same manner, all who go to heaven are not going to be in the same place of maturity.
No.
Babes are going to get in. You know, that thief on the cross, he's going to get in,
mm-hmm.
isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
What evidence do we have that he's going to get in? Jesus said to the man, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
Right.
It's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But the poor man didn't have any opportunity to grow in Christ, did he? But he got in.
Mm-hmm.
If he could have matured for 50 more years, wouldn't that have been better for him?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't he have gone in with something a little more treasure, shall we say? Lay up treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to lay up treasure,
mm-hmm.
where moth and rust don't corrupt. Wouldn't it be better to come in with a little more treasure laid up?
Mm-hmm.
Something more to enjoy the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, if all I'm preaching is a message of salvation, if all I'm saying is, just get saved, that's it. You don't have to worry about anything else. But there's more. There's more to the kingdom than just getting inside the door. You know, so many times we've made the picture of the tabernacle here. If I can get you inside the door, okay, your sins are forgiven, you die today, now you'll go to heaven. We get a 10-year-old child, accepts the Lord, okay? He dies, he's going to go right to heaven, isn't he? But you know, and God will hold that 10-year-old child accountable for what he holds a child accountable for. But if I'm 20 years old, God expects something more of me than he does a 10-year-old. Don't you, as parents? Okay. If I'm 30 years old and I've been walking with the Lord for 15 years, there's an expectation of me, amen, that is different than it was 15 years before that.
Amen.
All right, so he said it will be more tolerable, amen, for Sodom and Gomorrah, in the day of judgment than for that city.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, let's go on, because he's saying a lot of interesting things here. So I'm just going to read, and it isn't all going to relate to judgment, but it's going to relate to things that Jesus was saying to his disciples. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Sheep in the midst of wolves. I say, Lord, is that really wise? To send sheep out among wolves? But he's protecting them.
Yeah.
See, he said, okay, you're going to be among wolves, but he said, here's the key. He said, I want you to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves.
Amen.
You can make it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it among the wolves.
Yeah.
Amen. They're not going to rip you and tear you, but remember, they're wolves.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, don't forget that.
Right.
Just be wise and be harmless.
Right.
In other words, be innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take on wolf nature just right. because you're in the midst of wolves. Don't start acting like a wolf. Don't start thinking like a wolf. Okay? But beware of men. So who are the wolves going to be?
People.
They're going to be men.
Yeah.
They're not going to be dog-looking creatures, you know. You know. No, they're going to be men. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. What does scourge mean?
Whip.
Now, even if you don't get a physical whipping, you're going to get a tongue lashing.
Got it.
You ever hear of a tongue lashing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And where is the persecution really going to come? Jesus did not say, first of all, beware of Pilate, beware of soldiers, beware of governments. You know, a lot of governments don't really care unless they're really in with some religious something or other. Now, I'll make an exception to that. Communism in Russia, yes, they really cared. They were very anti-religious. Okay? But he said, the first thing he mentioned here was synagogues. And by the way, synagogue is not a Jewish word. Did you know that?
No.
It's a Greek word. It just means a place where people gather together for a... Basically, it's come to mean for a religious gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, beware of the people who will haul you up in front of their councils in their churches.
Right.
You're going to get your persecution from the church,
yeah,
is what he's saying to the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The religious leaders. And you will be brought before governors and kings. All right, yes, you will be brought before them. But the first thing mentioned is the synagogues. Okay? For my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Now, what does this mean, for a testimony against them? It basically means a testimony to them. How is a king going to hear the message of the gospel? How would a king hear it? How would a president hear it?
Only from the people of God.
The president isn't going to just sit down and turn his radio on one day and say, well, you know, I think I'll just start seeing... No, these guys are always surrounded by all their minions. Okay?
Yeah.
And if you look at the example of Paul, he got brought before the magistrates, he brought before kings. It was said that he got brought before Nero, even, to testify before Nero. And, you know, when these kings hear the message of the kingdom of God, they have to make a choice. And they're going to make a choice either for or against. All right, so, but when they deliver you up, and maybe this relates to your dream, sister,
mm-hmm,
of the things that are coming. When they deliver you up in this time of trouble,
mm-hmm,
all right, take no thought how or what you shall speak. You know, this goes contrary to me. I like to think in my mind, what am I going to say? How am I going to answer this charge? What am I going to say to this magistrate?
Holy Spirit will speak through you.
Right. So he's saying, just don't worry about it. Take no thought about what you're going to do, how you shall speak, for it will be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother is coming right down into your families.
Oh, yes.
The brother shall deliver up the brother to death.
Mm-hmm.
And the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Mm-hmm. You know, this has already happened. You look at Asia, you look at Russia, you look at Africa, places where the persecution is really very, very heavy. The families have delivered up and betrayed their own family. Muslims, yes. You get somebody saved in one of these Muslim families. Where was I hearing? Did somebody say this on the prayer conference yesterday about an Iranian family?
Yes.
Who was telling that? Iranian family, that they turned the radio on and they heard the message.
Wow.
They heard the kingdom. They heard salvation. And the whole family got saved.
Wow. Amen.
In Iran.
Awesome.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Hated of all men. Amen. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye unto another. All right. They don't like you in this city. What do you do about it? You go home and hide? No. Find another city.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Yep.
They don't want to hear it? Get out of there. That city, you know, Larry, the thing about preaching the gospel of the kingdom is that the preaching of the gospel brings judgment. Now, I hate to say it that way, but it is true. When you hear the message, you have a responsibility that you did not have if you didn't hear it. And so I say, if you don't want to be held accountable for what you've heard, don't come and hear it. No, I'm not trying to. Please don't everybody leave. You're accountable people. You're people that want to hear the gospel.
Amen.
But if you had never heard it, you couldn't be held accountable for what you'd never heard.
Right.
So this is why he says, flee to another city. All right? For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And I'm gonna leave off Matthew 10 at that point. Now, let's go to Matthew 11. It seems that Jesus is talking a lot about this subject in these next three chapters here. Matthew 11, verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. He does a lot of talking about the cities. Oh my, how can I leave off verse 16 here? But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. In other words, people are playing religion. We played praise music, and you didn't respond. Then we played funeral music, and you didn't mourn and cry. Can't we just play this game? Can't everybody get on board here? No. He says, this generation is just playing games. You're just putting on a show, like children in the marketplace. And this is a word that the Lord gave Sister Janet quite some time ago. Children playing in the marketplace. Amen?
In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said of the original church, they sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play.
That was the original church in the days of Moses.
Yeah, but I'm saying, some things don't count.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to play. All right, now we come down to verse 20, and then began he to upbraid the cities. Verse 20, upbraid, to rebuke. He began to rebuke the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now, what he's basically saying is, if he had gone into Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot, and he began to lay hands on people and heal them and deliver them and heal the lepers and open the eyes of the blind, he's saying that it's possible Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. Come on, look what happened to Nineveh. By the way, do you know where Nineveh is?
Yeah.
It's in Iraq, isn't it?
You're right by the on the Tigris, almost entering into Syria and Turkey.
That's Nineveh. And the ancestors of those people did repent in the days of Jonah, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
For a while. But a judgment eventually did come to Nineveh, but probably not in that generation.
Right.
All right. You know, it only takes one generation to fall away. Mm-hmm. Half a generation. All right, so he says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Where's Tyre and Sidon?
Lebanon.
It's in Lebanon. And what kind of things are going on up in Lebanon these days? Trouble. It's a very difficult place. All right. "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable," listen to this again, "for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you."
That's strong.
Here he's making the same statement again about Tyre and Sidon that he made about Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. "It will be more tolerable in the day of judgment." So he's saying there is a day of judgment coming. There is a day when all these nations, when all the people of the earth are going to come before the throne of a great judge. And you see, this is the principle that people have forgotten. People are saying, "The Lord seeth not. The Lord knoweth not what is going on. Come, let us live any way that we choose. For it isn't going to matter. I mean, eat, drink, and be merry, and then you die. What does it matter?" That's what people are saying today. Yeah. No, they don't come right out and say it, but they're living as if that's what they believe.
Yeah.
Okay? "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell." Ooh. No. That's a correct word there. Hell. It means Hades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not symbolic. It's hell.
Real.
I mean, in English, it's hell.
Yep.
Capernaum. Where was Capernaum, by the way?
It's in the Galilee.
Yeah.
Near.
It's one of the cities of Israel that Jesus preached in, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where he went and did many mighty works. What was the problem in these cities? Why did they not accept him? What was the barrier that prevented his message from getting through to them? The barrier was tradition. The barrier was religion. The barrier was they did not want the status quo interrupted. They had their own system. They had their leadership. They had their bosses. They had everything set up.
They were comfortable.
They were comfortable with the way things were.
Right.
And he was coming and saying, "No, you're not in God's order. You need to change. You need to repent. You need to change your ways. You need to change your attitudes. You need to change your thinking." Amen?
Yeah.
You need a total change. You're playing religion.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have the reality of a relationship with a living God anymore.
Right. Amen.
"Shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." Jesus is saying judgment could have been averted in Sodom.
Yeah.
There's a brother that has found the remnants of Sodom. You've seen the DVD or the video or whatever. It's just powdered rock, basically. You can see little columns of rock there that once was part of the city, just pulverized because of the intensity of the heat of the fire of think of the chemical sulfur. Sulfur, burning sulfur.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sulfur and brimstone. Literal sulfur and brimstone.
Mm.
Mm. "Sodom would have remained unto this day." Is there hope for Sodom?
No.
Yeah.
Is there hope for Sodomites?
No.
Only if they repent.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
If they repent.
Right.
Now, it seems that as time goes on, people get progressively harder and harder and harder in their sin.
Yeah.
Because the Sodom of today is just a solid wall.
Yeah.
You cannot break through. I've tried to minister to some, take them to the Word of God even. Some who are going to churches.
Yeah.
Yes, they're going to churches. They're singing in the choir. They're doing this. They're doing that. The minister knows what's going on, accepts it. Some of the ministers are involved in it.
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ask them pointedly. What about these verses where it says explicitly, thou shalt not? It is an abomination. What about that? How can you justify this? Well, you see, the seminaries are teaching them, this was the Israelites' ideas at that time of who God was, but you know, things are changing today, and we know that God has changed his mind about some of these things today. You know, I mean, they give people mouthwash like that, and people are buying it, and people are being deceived.
Yes, they are.
We're living in a day of deception, brethren, and hardness of heart.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
And this is why judgment is coming again. I'm telling you, judgment is coming, brethren. Hallelujah.
We know it.
It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Let me go over to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 36. These chapters of Matthew, brethren, they are so rich in the life, the Word of Jesus Christ. So rich. Come on, we cannot ignore these words. 36. Let me start in verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt. In other words, the judgment has to be rendered. It's either one or the other. Either the tree is good or the tree is corrupt.
Right.
And this is what the judge is going to do. He's going to declare, no, the tree is corrupt. Yes, the tree is good. Let it be. Amen? Or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit.
Amen.
Now, you know, a lot of Christians say, oh, don't judge. You mustn't judge. Well, come on. Well, but you can be a fruit inspector. You know, that's just, come on. We have to render judgment of the tree is good or the tree is not good. The fruit is rotten or the fruit is not rotten.
Right.
I'm not going to be eating rotten fruit, brethren.
Amen.
You can say I'm making a judgment or you can say whatever. I will not eat rotten fruit. I will not drink polluted water.
Right.
I will not go where polluted water is being served. I will not. Because I don't want to get sick.
Amen.
You know, when you drink polluted water, you're going to get sick.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Oh, generation of vipers. He called his whole generation
vipers.
You know what a viper is? It's a poisonous snake.
Right.
Yeah.
Its poison is in its fangs. And the poison of a snake comes where? It comes out of its mouth. And this is what he's saying to a whole generation of people. Your poison is coming out of your mouth.
Right.
What I hear from you. And basically, who was he speaking to? He wasn't down there preaching to the Roman soldiers.
No.
He was preaching to the religious people of his day.
Right. Amen.
Generation of vipers.
Right.
How can ye, being evil, speak good things?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're tolerating evil, you're preaching evil, you're telling the evil people in your midst that you don't need to repent, that they're okay just the way they are. How can you, with this in you, how can anything that comes out of your mouth be good? This is Jesus now. Come on. You say he's being hard? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Amen.
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Why does he call what's in your heart treasure? Treasure.
Yeah.
The thing that's in you,
yeah,
the mindset is your treasure. It's either a good treasure or it's not a good treasure.
Right.
If your mind, if the mindset that is in you, if the thing of your soul is of the kingdom of God, it's good treasure.
Right.
If it's of something else, it's not.
Right.
Well, yeah, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be.
Mm-hmm.
People treasure their mindset.
That's right.
That's the fundamental point here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that people treasure their mindset.
Yeah.
They treasure their mindset more than they treasure life itself. And of course, Jesus knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And he could get to the right to the heart of where people stood.
Now he's getting into the judgment of the word. All right, the word of the mouth is going to be judged. Why? Because the word of the mouth reveals the treasure of the heart.
Right.
So he says, I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Mm.
So, in other words, next time we bring a message, we'll talk about this day of judgment. We're just talking about the principle of judgment today. But there's coming a day of judgment. And he said that every idle word. Now, what is an idle word?
Chatter.
Things you didn't think about.
Things we say a lot.
Well, they're putting our thoughts to it. Yeah.
What's an idle word?
Something we say thoughtlessly.
No, something we use a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the point is that there are things that we say so much, we don't even put any thought into what we've said.
You know, let me give you an example of okay, we're talking about the men of the world now. All right, I won't pick on Christians for a minute here. How many times have you heard a man of the world say, well, I'll be D?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You know what? This word, he's going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord is going to say, 345 times, I heard you say, probably 30,426 times, you said, I'll be...
Mm-hmm.
So, guess where you're going?
Mm-hmm.
You spoke it, you said it.
Oh yeah, they're idle words. Things they say a lot.
Jesus said of the leaders of that day, he said, you testify against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
By your words.
Well, let me tell you my take on an idle word. Non-productive.
Right.
It doesn't produce life.
Yeah.
Boy, do you think there's any room for repentance among the Christians?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Among us?
Amen.
Yes.
Well, think about what Paul said.
Every day.
He said, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So, basically, if you take that to the extreme, it's the life of Christ in us, bringing forth that love of Christ, that those are the only words that will profit anybody.
You know, let me just say something. How many of you think that we probably ought to be holding our tongue a whole lot more than we do?
Right, yes.
Amen.
We ought to be thinking before we open up an answer, rather than just rattle off our mouth.
Hardest thing to tame.
It is.
It is.
According to thy word.
Right.
Amen. It's a difficult thing to tame.
Yes,
for by thy words thou shalt be judged, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Yes.
Do you know that we could avoid a lot of judgment? Let's read verse 39. The Pharisees ask him for a sign. And he said unto him, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Mm-hmm. Is it only an evil and adulterous generation looking for a sign? He said, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Amen. And you know, we were thinking of Jonas too, because he did preach to Nineveh, and Nineveh did repent. I tell you, wouldn't you love to be Jonah? No, I wouldn't you love to be Jonah after he got out of the belly of the whale? But you know what? I'm thinking of Jonah, and I'm thinking of all the places I'm going, and I'm thinking of, Lord, man, I really don't want to end up in the belly of a whale. I better go. You know, if we've got a calling to go to a city and preach, yeah, I want to go.
Right.
Because I really don't. You know, have any of you ever tried to resist God? Ever? Come on, I'll be honest with me.
Probably.
Absolutely.
Some of you tried to hold. Did it go well with you?
Not at all.
Guess who's going to win? You know, I don't know who was telling me. Maybe it was Brother Campbell was telling me that when Jonah said no, God took it upon himself as a challenge. Oh,
yeah.
You're going to tell me no, huh? Well, let's see what we can do about that. And really, I mean, you can be a little amused about it. In a sense, God has a kind of a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a long time ago when the Lord got me to do something that I didn't intend to do. Now, he didn't have to beat me or whip me or anything like that. But when I realized what he had done, I said to the Lord, oh, you kind of set a little trap for me there, didn't you? You got me to do something I wasn't going to do. And I saw a quick glimpse. I saw a smile on his face, like he was saying, "Yes, son, I set you up for that, and I'm so glad you fell for it, because I really wouldn't want to take you to the woodshed." No, really, I was so amused. It was a very difficult time in my life, and I sometimes you just get a quick little glimpse of the Lord, just a fleeting glimpse, a fraction of a second. Come on, I'm telling you, you'll get these glimpses if you're looking for them. And it was just a fleeting glimpse, or a quick little smile I saw on his face. Yeah. All right, let's go over to John for a minute, and just a few things from the Gospel of John. Chapter 5, verse 22. He says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." All right, so this is the principle of a representative. Now, Jesus sent the disciples out as representatives. And basically what he was saying to the disciples, if the city rejects you, they've rejected God.
Right.
Because you are representing me. You're going in my name. That's what going in my name means.
Mm-hmm.
You are going in my nature. You're going as if I were going myself. All right, so the principle in God, the principle of a representative here, okay? "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live."
Amen.
Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Okay? The dead are going to hear.
So the living are considered.
All right? Those who have died in Christ,
amen,
will hear the voice. The day is coming, and now is.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the kingdom isn't just coming, but the kingdom is. If you'll open up your soul, the kingdom will come in.
Amen.
In its fullness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. We got to read a little bit further here yet. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So he's talking again about judgment. He's talking about a coming finality of judgment. Okay? We'll finish with verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. So here he is speaking of being a representative of the Father. And of course, we are representatives of Jesus Christ. Go over to chapter 9. We're just going to stick with a few in John here. Chapter 9, verse 39. So now Jesus has healed a blind man, and the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, given him a really hard time over his healing. And so Jesus said to the man, verse 37, "Thou hast seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind." Now, isn't this an interesting statement? I came that the blind might see, but that the people that have the sight will not be able to see.
Right.
And some of the Pharisees that were there with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." And this again is the principle here. He's saying for judgment he came into this world. He came to bring the word. Now the Pharisees said they could see, but in reality they couldn't. And when he brought the word of truth, they rejected it. Therefore, they became blind. Do you see what I'm saying? Because they would not see, they refused to see.
Yeah.
You know, haven't you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, I don't know, I just don't see it. I don't see what you're saying. I don't see what you're talking about." And this is exactly what the Pharisees were doing in this day. They were rejecting it. And therefore, they were coming under the judgment of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
But this poor blind man, he worshipped Jesus.
Hey.
He fell down at his feet and said, "Oh, I, Lord, I believe." And in saying that, he's saying, "I see."
Mm-hmm.
I believe, I see. Therefore, the blind... Jesus didn't do this stuff just at random.
Right.
He did it specifically because the Father said, "Find that blind man and heal him. I want to give a lesson to the religious leaders. And I want you to show them one more time their own blindness, so that they might perhaps be able to see." Chapter 12, verse 31. Now, there was a voice that was heard. Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." In verse 28, "Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to them."
Mm-hmm.
Now, to what?
Mm-hmm.
To him. Yeah, I'm sorry, to him. Yeah, I misread. Now, Paul was on the road to Damascus, right? and a light and a voice. But it appears that the people that were with Paul didn't hear what Paul heard. Probably didn't see what Paul saw. Okay? Now, here Jesus is. It's, what did people hear? Rumble, rumble, rumble. They just heard thunder. But Jesus heard the Father speak. Okay, so let's go on. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Okay? "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." So again, he's talking about judgment. Now, the coming of Jesus brought judgment on the devil. The blood of Jesus sealed Satan's judgment. Now you say, well, he's been running around for 2,000 years since then. But he's still under judgment. And it's still going to come to pass. He's still going to be bound in the abyss. First for 1,000 years and then forever. Amen? 1,000 years isn't long enough, is it? Yeah. Final passage, John chapter 16. I know these are difficult passages, but let's read them anyway. And meditate on what God is saying, even though that we don't understand everything. John chapter 16. He's giving the promise of the Holy Spirit here. Okay? Let's start in verse 6. He says, "Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." In other words, he told them that he's going to leave. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So Jesus is saying to them, as long as I am here in the flesh, we're not going to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because I'm here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when I go away, I'm going to send my Spirit that every one of you can partake of me in fullness. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. We can have the fullness of Jesus Christ through the life of His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? All right, let's go on. "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment."
Amen.
All right. In other words, he's going to convict the world of sin. Now, what is happening? Again, I want to point out the trends that we're going through. What is happening to the ability to convict the world of sin?
Yeah.
All right. I can talk about the 1950s. I don't know. There's probably some of you that remember the 1950s. I remember when the men of God would come around and they would bring a tent into a town. And it didn't really seem to matter if he was brand X or brand Y. If he was up there preaching salvation in the power of God, people came.
Right.
Christians came. People from the world came. I remember they set up a tent on the fairgrounds up where I grew up in Lewis County. And my goodness, people filled that tent. And the man of God would give an invitation for salvation. People would come. I mean, they had sawdust all over the where you walked, you know.
Yeah.
They called it a sawdust trail, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People would come. And I'm a teenager. What am I? I'm 16 years old. And I know one of the things he said was, there's Christians here that have kind of, you need to renew some things with God. You need to get things going again. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's me. Man, I don't know where I'm going anymore. You know, I'm a Christian, but I don't have a purpose. I don't know where I'm going. I need to know. I'm getting old enough. I need to know where things are going to go. So I went up. I had my eyes shut and I opened my eyes after a while and I looked and there was one of my best friends. He was standing right there next to me. You know, he went up too. And he became a preacher of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And of course, so did I. He went a little different way than I did, but he became a preacher. I'm saying this was the mindset of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Read the history. Read the history of the United States. Go back into the 1700s, the 1800s. You know, the days of Finney, the days of I'm trying to think of the other fella. Jonathan Edwards. Another one. Name starts with a W.
Wesley.
No, not Wesley. Wesley was over in England mostly. Yeah, he came over.
Whitfield.
Yeah, guys like that. Do you know that Finney was here at Union College? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Try to get Finney into Union College today.
Won't happen. They throw him out.
They throw him out.
Yeah.
Finney, Union College, open the doors to Finney. After he'd been preaching over there in Rome, north of Utica, up in that area. Westernville. I grew up in just a little north of that area. Yes, the world, people of the world would come and hear that message.
Right.
And they would get under conviction.
Right. Amen.
The Holy Ghost had liberty to move the people of the world.
Amen.
What has happened? Why is our generation ripe for judgment? Because a hardness has set in. What they have done is that Satan has got into the schools. They've made an agenda in the schools to harden the kids' heart so that they will not hear. They've told the kids that people that do this kind of thing are religious fanatics, that you're not to listen to them. Yes, this is what's happening. And it isn't just in the schools. It's every place in society. Block, block, block.
The span of the generation. When I was in elementary school, I remember the principal in assembly reading from the Psalms.
Yes.
You know, and with conviction, because he believed it. He wanted all the kids to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I first heard about Jesus in school.
That's right. And I am saying, this is what Jesus said. I'm reading you his words. The Holy Spirit will come. He will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness.
Mm.
Not just sin. Brethren, the church needs to be convicted of righteousness.
Yes.
We need righteousness. You say, well, I've given up sin. Fine. What about taking on more righteousness?
Amen.
Mm.
And sin, righteousness, and what's the third ingredient? And judgment.
Judgment.
And judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me.
Wow.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more.
Mm-hmm.
Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That is, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you know what? It's still true today.
Yeah.
You can go into the churches and have many things to say, but they have been fed so much milk that they cannot bear it.
Right. Can't eat the meat.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Hallelujah.
Let me just finish the next two verses. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you.
Hallelujah.
All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you.
Hallelujah.
Go back here. He will show you things to come.
Mm-hmm.
We have, this is not wrong for the Holy Spirit to reveal things that are coming to us.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, brethren, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but when Brother Campbell was here, he just opened the door a little bit to show us things that are coming. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him on the phone, and he said, "Brother Mark, this year, next year, mm-hmm. I see a lot of trouble." And he says, "The Lord will not allow me to see past the middle of the year 14. Mm-hmm. He just will not let me see past that point." Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it means. It's just, maybe it's just too dark.
Yeah.
Just too dark to see. God is showing us. Now I'm not saying this for gloom and doom. I am saying that God wants us to hide in Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's made a hiding place in Him. He's given us the Holy Spirit that we might come in righteousness mm-hmm. unto Him. Mm-hmm. This is positive, brethren. This is very positive. It's the most positive thing I can tell you. God has made provision for us.
Yes, He has.
And on the other side of the coin, we are ripe for judgment.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We are a generation. We the world, are a huge city ripe for the day of His judgment.
Yeah.
Let us judge our own hearts.
Yes.
That we might be found in Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your goodness. I pray, Lord, that You would open the windows of heaven that we might hear what the Spirit is saying in this day and in this hour, O Lord. Let our hearts be open unto You, O Lord. Let us receive the goodness of Your Word. In Jesus' precious name we thank You. Amen. God bless you.